Christian or as a human being in all of your common experience and common life, I want to ask you to peg this down, because so much depends on the understanding of this. The third chapter of the Gospel of Mark. I want to read the 14th verse. And I want to ask you to draw a circle around, underline, put an asterisk beside Mark with an exclamation point, any way you can, just to peg down this 14th verse. And please don't miss it. Mark 3, verse 14. And Jesus ordained 12. Now, the word translated ordained means to select, to arrest, to call out. He selected 12. Now get this next phrase. If you don't get anything else out of your Bible for the next 10 years, I hope you get this phrase. He selected 12 that they should be with Him. Now what comes next, but let's forget that for the moment. The calling of every Christian is the calling into an intriguing and fascinating and life-transforming, dynamic, interpersonal relationship and companionship with another living person, Jesus Christ Himself. I don't care what else you try to do. If you do not pray regularly, and I mean all the way through, constantly, you can preach all you want to and it won't do you any good. If you don't get in this book to cultivate companionship with Him, you can do anything else that goes beyond that and it won't do any good. The Christian life focuses and condenses down and reduces into one simple matter. It's a matter of relationship. It's a matter of companionship. It's a matter of fellowship. It's a matter of friendship between two people, Jesus Christ and yourself. Let me ask you, do you have that relationship? Be careful. You better not take it for granted. You'll face it for eternity if you don't have it and wish you did have it. And if you have it and it's not up to date, you'll face that for eternity also. Because all of life from God's side of the veil is summed up in one request. I invite you into a relationship, a love affair with Myself. Let me read that again. He selected 12. That they should be with Him. And for 3 solid years, He walked with them. He talked with them. He ate with them. He breathed close to them. He touched them. He slept with them. He worked with them. He did everything with them for 3 solid years. I want to tell you the most fantastic thing I know is the strange strategy that Jesus followed when He came to this earth. He Himself said, I came to seek and to save all those that are lost. Now, everybody in His world was lost. Well, Master, how are you going to do it? Well, I'm going to put My picture on billboards and advertise in all the newspapers and get on television and go onto the radio. I'm going to scream from the mountaintops. I'm going to gather the biggest crowds I can get. And I'm going about to do this task. Not on your life. Jesus didn't do anything like that. The crowds were perfectly accidental and thoroughly incidental. In fact, you know what He did? He drew a crowd just by being Himself, depending on God. But He then sifted out that crowd and reduced it. At the end of His revivals, they didn't ask how many additions did you have. They asked how many subtractions did you have. That's the kind of person He was. Because He wasn't interested in all that popularity gimmick. He wanted one thing. He wanted real people who were world revolutionaries one at a time. And friends, He has not reduced His calling one degree to this day. If you're not interested in getting in on a world revolutionary, world-changing program, say goodbye to Jesus Christ, because that's what He invites you to. And if you're not willing to give up your television comfort and our carpeted buildings to get out there where the water hits the wheel and say, Lord, I am expendable, I give Myself up, then say goodbye to Jesus Christ. Because He's not interested in your program if you're not interested in His. Now, that's simple, plain talk, but that's the truth. And most of us haven't got it. We're not gutty enough. We haven't got what He calls for. He invites us into a transforming personal companionship that revolutionizes everything about us. And most of us just have to admit we're a little too tame, a little too timid. It's a little bit too much comfort. We don't want anything like that. It's so easy for me to say this, standing behind this respected place and dressed in a Sunday suit and with this carpet under my feet. But when we get out there, that's what He calls us to. Personal relationship, personal companionship. That's fantastic. He came to save the world and reduced Himself to 12 men. Well, what other world leader's ever done anything like that? You just investigate the annals of history. Not one anywhere even dreamed of anything like that. He said, I came to save the world. I came to save the lost. Now, you might argue with that, but let's let that statement stand for the moment. I came to save everybody, all those that were lost. I came. That was my immediate intent in coming. That was why I came. Well then, Lord, what are you doing about it? I'm investing my life in 12 men. Now, my time is so brief. I wish I had more time. I brought with me this morning a copy Bob Coleman's, I think it's one of the two or three greatest books outside the Bible that Christians ought to read. The name of it is The Master Plan of Evangelism. And I want to tell you simply, if this book, and that's a Bible I've got my hand on now, if that book is true, the church has missed it by 10,000 miles today. And if that book is true and it's based completely on this, the church has missed it by 10,000 miles today. I don't want to ask you whether it's true or not. I just want to ask you to read the book. You can get it for a dollar and a dime out on our book table, and we'll get in as many copies as we need. Every Sunday school teacher who ever thought about teaching, teaches now, or ever will teach, ought to read that book 100 times. Read it 12 times the first year. And don't let it bypass you until you get what's in it, because you're going to wake up in eternity and say, Lord, how in the world did I miss that? How in the world did I miss it? He says the plan of Jesus could be condensed into 8 words. And that sounds so extravagant, but I want to share with you those 8 words quickly. Number one, selection. He called men. Just a handful of them, but men. Number two, association. He stayed with them. That's what today's Christian leader has got to do. He's got to forget the crowds, get the hungry hearted, electrify them with the power of the Holy Spirit, and then let that little nucleus go out and gather its own nucleus around it. Let an individual go out and gather its group and electrify them, and then each of them become leaders and they move out. This is what changed the world. And it's the exact opposite of saying advertise in the newspapers, go on television, gather a great big crowd, and most of them leave unconverted and unconvinced. Principally because they've not had any opportunity to associate with Jesus Christ. And they've not had any opportunity to share and open up and say, here are my hang-ups, these are my big sins, here are my problems. And so they go away unchanged. The second point is association. He stayed with them. The third one is consecration. He required obedience out of them. The fourth point is impartation. He gave Himself to them on the inside. Number five, demonstration. He showed them how to live and how to perform and how to do it. Number six, delegation. He assigned them work. Number seven, supervision. He kept check on them. And number eight, and this is what it's all about, reproduction. He reproduced Himself so that Simon Peter became a little Jesus in a sinner's terms. Andrew became a little Jesus in a sinner's terms. James became a little Jesus functioning with Christ, loosing Himself right out of the middle of that man. John became a little Jesus, and this is the kind of people He made out of them. And this is exactly what He wants. Well, I want to ask you, are you game for anything like that? It'll take your life. Ever had anybody, heard anybody say to a great Christian, I'd give anything to have the faith you have? Well, let me tell you something. That's exactly what it costs. It costs everything. You've just got to climb up on the altar and spread yourself out and say, Lord, there's not much of me, and what's there is full of problems. But all there is of me, I surrender to all there is of you. And I want to be implicated totally in this plan that you have. This was the Master's method. And this is the disciples' first great responsibility, just to be with Jesus. You say, but that's so simple. That's the reason we've not dared to risk it. It's so simple. A young man stood before Phillips Brooks in Boston one day, and he said, "Bishop Brooks," he said, "I have a question I've been thinking a lot about." He said, "Is personal relationship